hear God's word. What I want to talk to you about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. Remember how you were when you didn't know God, led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everyone else did it? It's different in this life. God wants us to use our intelligence to seek to understand as well as we can. For instance, by using your heads, you know perfectly well that the Spirit and God would never prompt anyone to say, "Jesus be damned," nor would anyone be inclined to say, "Jesus is Master," without the insight of the Holy Spirit. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God, and He decides who gets what and when. Now, you can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of His one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives, and we integrated life in which He has the final say in everything. And this is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us now a part of His resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, His Spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. Amen. You know, Mark Twain, we've all heard of Mark Twain and his wonderful stories, and many, many years ago, he told one particular story of how he felt particularly disturbed at all the discord and disagreement he saw among God's people and creatures. And so he said that he decided to do an experiment with the problem, and he put a cat and a dog in a cage, and he wrote that within an hour, he had taught the cat and the dog to be friends. In another hour, he added a rabbit and taught all three to be friends. And then in another hour, he added a fox, and later on a goose. He added a squirrel. He added some doves. He just kept adding all these different animals into this one cage. And he said that eventually he even added a monkey, and they were all able to get along beautifully and peacefully, and they lived together affectionately. Then he gave another example. He said next he decided to experiment with religion. And so in another cage he confined an Irish Catholic, a Scotch Presbyterian, a Muslim, a Methodist, a Buddhist, and a Salvation Army colonel. He said he stayed away for 2 days and came back home to record the results, and he said not a single specimen was left alive. That's a little scary, right? And I think we could probably broaden that beyond just religion these days, right? As we're looking at all the conflict and all the disagreement. I hate to think even in terms of politics, you put several politicians together and they'd last less than 2 days. They would just be instantly gone. We continue to see so much disagreement and finger-pointing and devaluing of individuals. And it's really kind of scary and sad to see. You know, it reminds us of years ago in LA, that gentleman who said, "Can't we all just get along?" Apparently, we still can't. But does it have to be that way? Does it have to be that way? I remember that growing up, it seemed that there were very clear lines between what was good and what wasn't good in terms of talents, in terms of abilities, in terms of personality qualities. So it was a huge revelation to me this one time when I went away to a retreat, and during that time I came across this book called Please Understand Me, you know, the Myers-Briggs personality types. And so I'm sitting here and I'm reading this book, and it's describing all these types, each of whom had qualities that in my youth had been considered good, and others that were considered not so good. And yet, in this book, it was saying that neither were good or bad. It was how they were used. Later on, my good friend and mentor, Conrad, was constantly reminding me that our strengths are also our greatest weaknesses. Again, it's not how these qualities in and of themselves are, but how they are used. And as we look around, we see that everything is infinitely different. When there's not even two snowflakes that are alike, do we really expect people to be that similar? We all grow up in different families, in different environments. We all have different genes that came from different parents. We can look at even members in our own family and we wonder how in the world they're even related because they can seem so different. And parents, we wonder, we do our best with our kids, but we wonder, my goodness, where did they get that talent? Or where did they get that quality? It's amazing as we see all these different qualities and that everyone is so uniquely different. But that unique thing can also kind of get in the way. Because as we're going along and we find ourselves different from others, it can feel like we don't belong. We can feel like outsiders. We can feel that the unique set of gifts that we have are not the ones that are valued at a different time. Is there anyone here who in school didn't look around and see the talents of others and think, wow, they're so gifted. What have I got? I know I did. Most of us struggle. We can see the gifts in other people, but we can't see the gifts in ourselves. At the same time, we want to be unique. I have someone I'm on the phone with on a regular basis, and every time I talk with her, she's talking about how special people find her. That's the thing that makes her happiest, is when people tell her that she's special. But if only certain people are special, then what about the rest of us? There is a certain need in our insecurity a lot of times to feel like we are the special ones. But that requires us to be more special than everybody else. And that, in turn, causes more conflict as everybody is doing battle to be the special one. Well, in that early church, they had similar problems. They were all in conflict with each other. They had all these differences, all this diversity, and they couldn't get along. And Paul was trying to explain to them, you're all different. But all your qualities are needed. And he gives this wonderful example of the human body. All the different body parts, all the different pieces, every single one of them needed. You know, for example, how many of you think too much of your little toe on your foot? Right? It's like no big deal, right? Until you trip. Yes? Until you trip, and, right? Now it's killing you. I had a similar problem when I was in college. I fell off my bicycle, and all I did was hurt my little toe, and I was on crutches for 2 weeks afterwards, just for a little toe. All these little parts. Our little toe helps with our balance. If you lose one of those things, you can find that you're in trouble, and you don't even realize the importance of all these different parts until one of them goes bad, or you start to have problems with them. By the same token, as Paul later goes on to say in that passage, our eyes, for example, are very visible. And there are always people who are being complimented on their beautiful eyes, right? Their beautiful eyes. And of course, we want to see, we need to see. And yet, as important as those eyeballs are, if your stomach's not working, you're in big trouble. You can do without your eyes, you can't do without your stomach. All the parts need to work together. So what do we do? How do we find a way to appreciate each other? First of all, we need the assurance that each of us, in God's eyes, are special, unique, and of value. You need to know that. You are of value. And whether the world sees it or not is not important. Whether you've got a big high-paying job, or whether you have a big title, or whether you have all the things that the world values, totally insignificant. There's this wonderful story about how if you had a president of a company, or even in the United States for that matter, and that president went on vacation for a few weeks, you might not notice. But if the garbage collectors in New York City went on strike, you'd notice that pretty darn fast. All of us are needed. We may not always be appreciated, but we're always needed. And by that same token, we need to be those who appreciate the gifts of others. Our own humility is really important, but we need to be able to see what is good in other people. We need to work together as a team. Any of you remember a few years back when those miners back in 2002, those nine miners back in western Pennsylvania became trapped in a mine? They were in there for a while. It was a flooded mine shaft. And they were trapped in there, and there was really some doubt as to whether they were ever even going to make it at all. The rescue efforts began immediately, but the crews knew that really the odds were against them. Well, those nine men, first of all, to even think of yourself trapped in a mine is horrible in itself. Trapped with nine other people in a small space under difficult, stressful circumstances, not a great scenario. But those nine men did something unique. They bonded together in a very special way, and they made a vow. They said, we either all get out together or none of us do. And they literally kind of tied themselves together so if one of them fell asleep, the others would keep him from falling into the water and drowning. They hung together like that, and eventually all of them were saved, and I think largely because they made that commitment to each other. Friends, we are together for a reason. And those very things that make us uncomfortable, because let's face it, it's a lot more comfortable to be with people who are like you and easy to understand. The people that are different from you can make you feel very uncomfortable. But feeling uncomfortable is not necessarily a bad thing. Because you can learn from those people, and they can learn from you. And not only that, but there can be this wonderful synergy of creativity. As you're working together with different people, seeing things in different ways, you come up with new solutions. You come up with new ideas. You come up with things that couldn't happen any other way. When I was growing up in California, and spending time up at my family's resort, working up there, those dry areas, they have a lot of these little burrs. And they're these little plants that get all dried out and they stick to your clothes. And if you're walking, they stick to things. And pulling them off, and especially if you have pets, they get caught in the dog hair and everything else. They are really a nuisance. Well, apparently back in 1940, there was a man who was walking his dog. And he came back and the dog was full of these burrs. As he's pulling them out, he's looking at them really closely. And he notices these little hooks on the burrs. And he knows, yes, someone knows where I'm going with this. Velcro. That's right. That was how Velcro was invented. Taking one side with little hooks and combining it with another side with little loops. And you have this great tool that we use and rely on all the time now, right? And we're like that. We're like the Velcro. Some of us are the hooks, and some of us are the loops, and some of us are just plain loopy. But when we try to work it together, there can be good things that come out of it. Friends, going forward, I want you to think for a moment of the people who are the most difficult in your life, the ones who just totally drive you crazy. I want you to think about the qualities in them that drive you crazy. And your homework assignment in the coming week is to think about the things that you can learn from these people who are different and who can drive you crazy. I want you to think about ways that you can get to know them better and build bridges with them. One of the greatest blessings I've been discovering in recent years is just how wonderful it can be to build those relationships with others who are different, and how much those conversations can stimulate all kinds of creative ideas, creative thoughts, and how just even the coming together in relationship can be an amazing and beautiful gift. Our differences are not to be feared. Our differences are not to be run away from. Our differences are gifts. And if we see them as gifts, they can be incredible blessings. I want to just close with one last story about a man named George. And George was considered to be a great peacemaker with a big heart and a great sense of humor, and they claim that he was so tender-hearted that he cried at supermarket openings. That's pretty tender-hearted, all right. And everyone really loved him. They loved him wherever he went. He was respected, and he worked at a hospital. He was loved there. And the reason so many people loved him was because he was always kind and respectful to everyone he met, no matter how different they were, no matter whether they got on his nerves or not. He was always kind. And his children remember very vividly days that he actually spent in the hospital before he died. And the president of the hospital paid him a visit. And they spoke as if they were old friends. And then later, the janitor came in. And they too spoke like old friends. And the kids asked their dad after the janitor left, they said, "Dad, did you realize that you treated the president of the hospital and the janitor just alike?" And he smiled and he said, "Well, let me ask you something." And this is a similar story to one I told earlier. If the president left for 2 weeks and the janitor left for 2 weeks, which one do you think would be missed the most? And then George called his children around and he said, "I want to show you something that I carry in my pocket all the time." He said, I carry a pocket-sized cross and a marble with the golden rule on it. On the cross are written these words, "God loves you," and on the marble are these words, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And then he said something quite profound. He said, "The cross reminds me of how deeply God loves me," he said, And the marble reminds me of how deeply God wants me to love others. How much He wants us to love others. Our insecurity comes because we don't feel loved. But I want you to know, you are loved. You are loved. Pass it around. Share it. Make someone else's day. And you'll bridge those differences. Let us pray. Almighty God, it's easy to focus on the ways that we're different and to see them as obstacles when actually they're gifts to us. Every one of us special, every one of us unique, every one of us with something that's needed in this place, in this time. Lord, bring us all together as one body. In your name we pray. Amen.